If you haven't got a Bible, go and get one from the bookshelves at the back. It's on page 858. I'd love for you to follow along. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to be reading, finishing up this second chapter of Luke, reading from verse 39. Picking up on the back of the story that we covered last week of Jesus' presentation by his parents in the temple and this prophetic insight that was given to both Simeon and Anna, these amazing people who'd waited on God and waited on God's word for them in the temple and then found it fulfilled in this baby that they held in their arms. Let's read from verse 39. When they, that is the parents of Jesus, had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. May God bless his word to us this morning. Keep your Bibles open because we'll be coming back to that passage. I wonder, 2 weeks in to a new year, how many of you are tired? Go on, show of hands. I'm nearly exhausted. I'm tired out this week. I've got good reason to, as I'll share with you in a moment. How many of you are tired? You just already 2 weeks in perhaps thinking, wow, is this the way it's going to carry on this year? Like, I've got some water here, but I'm feeling like I could do with a double-strength coffee. Laura and I this week had a new arrival. A new charge came to stay with us. This is her in big version. The little version's back there in Laura's arms. Cody May is our latest charge, and we're going to be looking after her until she has no need to be looked after by us, and we'll move on. But for the meantime, she's been our child, and she was just 2 days old when she arrived on Monday, and she's actually a fantastic baby. She's been sleeping on a regular. We can almost set our clocks by her in terms of her feeding and sleeping and everything else. But at night, as we're lying there trying to sleep. Every time she snuffles or spits something out or moves, we're like awake. And we've seen quite a few hours of the night as that goes on. But I love having a new baby. I'm kind of fired up by it. I'm really excited to hold a baby again in my arms. And as I was holding her on Monday evening when she arrived, all newborn and looking so brand new and so lovely and so much, you know, there in her, in miniature, just this tininess. And she's only sort of 6 pounds and 4 ounces, I think, something like that was. And so she's quite small, but holding on to that, seeing these perfectly formed fingers and everything else. And you think, wow. You look at her and I'm thinking, wow, Cody, you're going to grow. You're going to grow. And as I held her, I could remember holding Elspeth when she was a tiny baby. The first night that she came home and trying to quiet her down. I don't think I was so good at it then. Sorry, Elspeth. And trying to quieten her. And today I'm going to be taking her back to university. She's grown, thankfully. And today we celebrate Joel's birthday, and he's grown, and it's just amazing. So these children, the potential that's bound up in that tiny, tiny body is brought to life by growth, which is the object, in a sense, of life itself. That we live to grow, and life is expressed through maturity, through us, our development over time. And that's revealed in virtually anything organic. You know, a seed is planted, it germinates, it grows. These trees that we see outside the windows, they started off as tiny little things that emerged from a seed. And now look at them. Life, the goal of life is to grow. Maturity. And in order for growth to take place, there are a number of things that actually need to be in place. That in order for growth, particularly with us as human beings, to be successful, there are a number of things that need to be in place. We obviously need to be in a healthy environment. We need to be given food. Cody needs to be fed every 4 hours with just a few ounces of milk. And that's enough. It's a tiny, tiny amount, but she's only a tiny, tiny little thing. And that's enough food to keep her going for the next 4 hours. And so it is with us. We need to, if we're going to grow, we need to eat. And we need to eat healthy things. And we need to be brought in an environment where where it's clean and where we're not going to be finding disease. We need to be in a healthy environment. And we need shelter. We need warmth. We need comfort. We need to be somewhere where we can feel relaxed, not stressed. Somewhere where we can get the sleep that we require from time to time. And that we can actually live in security. We need, above all things, to be loved, to grow. We need to find the security of another's love. We need to be held in arms. We need to be brought close to someone. We need to feel secure. One of the things that we find out a lot about as foster carers is attachment. And it's a word that is used a lot by those in social services, and a lot to do with the theory of how it is that we grow and mature in life. And what it really refers to is that actually we all need to have secure and good attachments. That is, we need to grow up in an environment where we know that there is someone who's looking out for us, someone who cares about us, someone who loves us enough to correct us, to be there for us when we need them, and will fulfill our physical needs, our emotional needs, our growing thinking needs, will meet all of our needs. And those attachments are so, so very important. So very, very important in our lives, because they lead us to an understanding of who we are and of what we can become. And we get encouragement and we get help and we get sustenance and we get all those things through those attachments that we form. And they talk about people with poor attachments, not really understanding themselves, not really understanding who they are, not knowing where to turn for help in their lives. And so it is that they begin to explore other options that aren't so secure or helpful. Folks, if we're to grow, we need those things in our lives. And those things are all found in the context of a community. A community that is known as family. and maybe wider than the family, the greater family that is surrounding us. And we find those things in that. We find a sense of who we are. We find the sense of what we can become. We find a sense of what it means to mature and grow in that context. As people tell us stories, oh, I remember when you were like this. Or here is a story about your father or your mother or somebody in the family. Or you're just like your grandfather. Or you perhaps will do things like someone else in the family. And so it is that our lives are formed and our identity is understood in that context. The context of growth. The context of having our physical and emotional and spiritual needs met. And this passage, let's get to it. This passage speaks primarily of Jesus' understanding of his identity. But Luke prefaces it and ends it. He bookends it. He sticks a piece on either side of it, which say almost the very same thing. Look at verse 40 and then look at verse 52. So verse 40 says, the child grew, became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Look at verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. Two verses that say more or less the same thing, just 12 verses apart. Luke is wanting to tell us something. He speaks in this story about the identity of Jesus, Jesus' understanding of who he was. But it's given to us in the context of Jesus' growth. Interestingly, we're told no other story of Jesus' childhood. Interestingly, scriptures reveal nothing of him growing up. There are some sort of fabulously legendary type of stories that don't really ring true, that people have concocted about perhaps Jesus's childhood years. But the scriptures are actually quiet about them, except for this story. This story, on the cusp of adulthood, 12 years old was an important age for a Jewish boy, because when he turned 13, he would be regarded as an adult. I wonder how many of you teenage guys are ready for that. 12 years old is the cusp of adulthood. At 13, you're a man. You're expected to take hold of manly things. Get on with your life. Live like a guy. Like someone older, perhaps not with the full degree of maturity, but you had to begin to take the responsibilities of manhood. And Jesus, on the cusp of that, is presented with this question of who he was. What was his identity? What was he all about? And so, this passage in this story, this one and only story of Jesus' childhood outside his birth, Luke reveals something of his understanding of his identity. But I think it's really helpful for us that it's presented in the context of growth. Jesus grew. He became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the favor of God. And in this way, Luke is helping us to understand that Jesus was truly like us. He was truly a human. He was truly a man. He wasn't just some God person that had come to the earth and was somehow just a deity in disguise. He was truly like us. He was a man, somebody who grew up with the same sort of sense of growth and progression as we do. And so Jesus grew in physical strength. He grew in wisdom. He grew in the favor of God. And his understanding of who he was grew with those things as well. It's interesting, isn't it, in this story that Luke presents Mary and Joseph very clearly as his parents. They appear in this story as the parents of Jesus. They refer to themselves as his parents. Mary, when she eventually finds Jesus at the temple, she says, don't you know that your father and I have been worried about you? And Luke speaks of a different understanding that Jesus was beginning to get of his identity. Yes, he'd grown up in a very secure home, a very loving home, a home where his needs had been met, and he had grown as a result. But now he was beginning to understand so much more clearly who he really was. And this story points us to what Luke is going to unpack through the rest of this gospel and into the book of Acts. And the location of the story is also important, because if you turn back to the very beginning of Luke, chapter 1 and the very first verses, you'll see there the scene at which Luke begins his story once he's finished the preliminaries to Theophilus, explaining what it is that he's about to do. Where is the point where Luke begins his story? It's the temple. The temple. The meeting place between God and man, where people would come to pray and to learn and to hear the scriptures and to offer sacrifices, to do those things that were required of them in order that they might meet with God. And Zechariah has an encounter with an angel in that temple space. And now Jesus comes to the temple space as a young boy. And something remarkable happens there. Something remarkable happens. So the main point of this passage is to help us to understand Jesus' own understanding of his identity. That Jesus was not the son of Mary and Joseph. He was the Son of God. Don't you realize, Mom and Dad, those who looked after him, he says, don't you realize, Mary and Joseph, that I would be found in my Father's house? That if I went missing, this is the place you would find me. That I would be right here where God is. That I would find my identity here. That this would be the place where evidence of my growth would be revealed. And so we see there's all these parallels set up with the person of John the Baptist. If you turn back just to the end of chapter 1, you'll see there's a verse there that Luke gives us about John's growth. The child grew, became strong. Verse 80 of chapter 1. This is John the Baptist. He grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance. John is setting up his characters and then moving them to the position on the stage of this world where they will appear in their part of the story. John grows, is filled with wisdom, and he moves into the wilderness, because that's where he's going to be working from. A call to repentance, a call to baptism, a call to recognize the coming of the Messiah. And then Jesus, he grows and is strengthened and grows in wisdom and in the favor of God. And then he's found in the temple, the meeting place between God and man. As we grow, our growth helps us to understand who we are. As we understand who we are, we're helped to grow. We're helped to mature. We're helped to understand our potential as people. As I hold Cody in my arms, I understand that she is not going to remain like this tiny baby that we've received this week, but she's going to grow. We've seen it happen